My name is Rosemary Neves, and it is December 13th, 2017. And I am visiting with Harry Washuck in Pleasant Valley Lodge. It's the morning, and it's a beautiful sunny day. And we also have with us Harvey Scott, who is a neighbor from when Harry was living out near Chain Lakes. And so, Harry, can you tell us when you first came to Canada? You were saying that you came as a child.
Yep.
Yeah. And you were, how old were you?
I'm 89 now.
Yes, I know. Close to 90, eh?
89, yeah.
Yeah.
Born 1928.
Mm-hmm. When you came to Canada, you were a year and a half?
About that, yeah. Year and a half.
Yeah. And where did you come from? Your family?
It's Poland.
All the way from Poland.
And then a place to where I even forget what the name's been changed to, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's Poland and different countries come in war. They had always war out there.
And so.
My father went in First World War. He was working in Flint Flon, Manitoba. Kirkland Lake, Ontario, in mine, underground mines. But then he had to go to war. Somehow it happened. Went back to the old country. Yeah. And then he ended up a prisoner of war in Germany, yeah.
Oh, did he?
And how people were going. Not enough food to eat. So that's World War I.
Yeah.
He said people were going like flies in the fall. During the summer, a lot of flies, you know.
Yeah.
Fall time comes, you know, where are they? And that's how people were, you know.
They just disappeared.
Kill one another.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them Russians became atheists. They said, there is no God. If there'd be God, we wouldn't have this great commotion. Mm-hmm. They became, you know, famine, war, and disease, cholera and typhoid fever, you know, and famine.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how it was. And people were going like flies in a fall. That's what your father was telling me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And war.
But he survived.
And they became, a lot of them became atheists. Mm-hmm. We have that trouble because there's no God, you know. They don't believe that Satan, the devil, is cast out. The head angel, God created angels, his name was Lucifer. But he decided to be like the Most High. And one third of God's angels followed him. And there was war in heaven. But he flew like lightning on the earth. That's why we have trouble, that there's Satan, the devil, you know. He's trying to deceive us, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So he came back to Canada? After?
Yeah, he came here. He said he crossed the ocean three times.
Three times?
Yeah, yeah. When first time he came to the States, and then went back again, then crossed the ocean three times, yeah.
Uh-huh. How did you come to Athabasca?
We came by rail, mm-hmm. You know, from Ontario, from the east, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed at they had a place for
newcomers.
Down here, not downtown, you know.
Yes, yes.
But at railroad station, stayed there for about maybe 3-4 days, maybe a week,
mm-hmm.
before they settled away, got some land there by, you know, we're on the way to Chain Lakes there.
Yeah.
There was no roads, nothing that time yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your father took on a quarter section, did he?
He just took one quarter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it all woods?
Yeah, it was all. He had to clear by hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Clear some for a garden.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of rabbits in the bush and squirrels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fish in Crooked Lake.
Was there?
Oh, yeah. We used to go and catch fish, Crooked Lake, you know, winter time, ice fishing.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. And from the shore, you know, you can get some jacks out there, you know.
Oh. Mostly jack.
And then in the springtime, when the fish is spawning, there are a lot of all kinds of fish there in that north of McGrath Lake, that big meadow there, you know.
Oh.
Not McGrath Lake, but... Mud Lake.
Hmm. Wow.
Did your mother come later on?
Yeah, she came later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mother and... there was about 5 children in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Lavinia was the oldest.
Lavinia?
Then Alice, then Tom, then me. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then John and then Bill. Well, I guess John and Bill, they were born here already.
The others were born in Poland.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was the youngest one that come from Poland,
mm-hmm.
year and a half old. You know.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember from those early days?
Hey?
What do you remember from those early days?
Yeah, that was 1930.
Mm. The dirty 30s, huh?
They called it hungry 30s, you know.
Yeah.
But there was plenty of rabbits in the bush,
mm-hmm.
you know. And wintertime trapping squirrels, you know.
Mm.
And rats in McGrath Lake. Muskrats and some beavers in that Crooked Creek, you know, comes out from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it winter when you arrived?
Hey?
Was it winter when you arrived here, do you know?
No, that was in the fall.
Oh, okay.
I think quite late in the fall already, too.
Mm-hmm. So it was cold?
In 28. No, 1930.
30, yeah. Mm-hmm. You were still just a child. So your dad...
There were some neighbors out there by Crooked Lake. Mr. Reed, Ed Reed, you know.
I've heard the name.
With his family, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernice Ladd, she... You know...
Bernice.
Going to school, you know. The,
yeah?
You heard of Bernice Ladd?
No.
She wasn't from the father, from Mr. Ed Reed, you know. She wasn't, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, what the family was about. Half a dozen children. Ed Reed, you know.
They.
Others. Yeah.
They lived on Crooked Lake.
They lived in Crooked Lake. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that's.
Yeah.
That area.
Yeah, right by the shore of Crooked Lake.
Yeah.
Ed Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Were the Kuchers there yet, or was it Gillespie? Did you know the Gillespies?
Yeah, well, they were. Pete Gillespie and Ella Gillespie.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I still remember them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we visited them once in a while, and Mr. Gray made the service at Alec Glaspick's place.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was there, you know. I was a small boy, you know, there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was Johnny Gray's father was pastor.
Yeah, that's right, William Gray, yeah.
Okay.
He was kind of preaching out there.
Yeah.
In that Larwood school and in homes, you know.
So you went to school at
Larwood School, yeah.
Yeah, Larwood School. Mm-hmm. And that was quite a little walk, wasn't it?
Three-mile walk, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were going kind of shortcut. It was one mile south, and then 1 mile west, and 1 mile south again. But then we had a road kind of, you know, on an angle.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a little closer, but not much closer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a creek to cross. There was no bridge there, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the trail. You showed me the trail one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It runs through that schoolhouse quarter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And ends up at the school. Yeah, you showed me. It's all grown in now, but it was a trail at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few children going to school. There were these immigrants from the old country that come in, settled. I was told when they started a school there and the kids, the teachers tells them to go home. They don't know what that meant, to keep sitting, you know. See, they do know no English, you know. Yeah.
That must have been hard.
For a while, I guess, but they catch on fast, you know, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So your father started clearing the land?
Hey?
Your father started clearing the land?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I first prepared for a garden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that time you had a horse or a cow, you know, you hook to some kind of a plow. Scratch the ground up, and then you raise your own garden, you know. Mm. And meat, there was a lot of rabbits in the bush, and partridges, a lot of partridges.
Yeah.
You go there where those willows and alder bushes, you know. Well, I never used a 22. I used a lawn pole out of a willow and put a snare on it. And you go there in the morning or in the evening when they roost, they lay. You can pull all the meat you want. That's good meat from partridge meat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, you just put it over the head and pull it down and kill it, you know, and you got no problem. Mm. I used to do that quite a bit.
Mm.
No meat in the house. Well, mother said, go get some, bring some meat. So I'd go run in there and bring some. Don't take long. In early in the morning or late in the evening, the partridges they roost, they on them trees, on them willows. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And we had wheat in the granaries. You know, you bring some wheat in a house and you pour some water into it and wash the chaff away and that. And then you drain it out. You put clean water, and you leave it till morning. It softens up, and then you bring it to a boil. This, you know, and that's the best porridge you can have.
Is that right?
That when they grind it, it becomes lumpy, you know, somehow. But whole wheat, and it's soft, and you bring it to a boil. That's the best porridge. For me, it was the best porridge I had. And there's wheat, there's bread, and everything with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm.
Did you grow quite a bit of wheat in those days?
Yeah, we used to raise some wheat, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Used to pull aside, you know, you have a kind of a father made a fork with a scythe and would put some willows on, you know, so it lays it, you lay a swath. And then you go and tie it into bundles, you know, by hand. And then winter comes, you got the flail, you know. Hitting you with the flail. Three of us would be swinging that flail, you know, on that bundle, you know. Hmm. Then you got your own wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was... There was no thrashing machines that time.
Yeah.
You know, you had to... You've seen the flail, mm-hmm. thrash, you know.
Yeah, my mother taught me how to thrash our beans. She would grow beans, beans, and then you tie a little stick on the end of a long stick with leather, and you... Yeah, I still have done my beans that way in the fall, yeah. Just for fun of it, you know, I don't have to anymore. But, yeah.
Sure, that was a way of thrashing at one time.
Yeah.
Don't take long, we smash it up, you know, and then you, on a windy day, you choose a kind of a windy day to blow the, you know.
Yeah,
winnowing, yeah.
Yeah, you take it up, and the wind blows it away, and you get clean wheat.
Yeah.
Clean grain, you know.
Mm-hmm. We would do it in a burlap bag. My mother would put a whole bunch of beans in a big burlap bag, tie the top, and then you flail the bag, then you... You, as you say, in the wind, you blow the chaff out, and then you've got the beans, or the wheat. Yeah, it's a good system. Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Did when you first got to the land? I mean, you wouldn't remember, but did they necessarily? But did they start out in a tent and then build a log house, or how did they cope with just living that first fall? Do you know?
I didn't get you.
I say, in the beginning, when they first got to the land, did they start out in a tent?
Yeah. Well, my father came. He kind of stayed with Mr. Kuchar for a while.
I see.
You know, till he got started up. Okay. Then he built a log house out of round logs, you know.
Oh, okay.
Poplar logs, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, but that's gone a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So that first winter, they had a house built already.
Yeah, he had. I don't remember too much. He built a house out of round logs, you know, mm-hmm. poplar logs, you know.
Is that the same quarter that you're on now?
Yeah, same one.
Hmm. And then you had cattle?
Yeah, he had some cows and some horses too. Mm-hmm. Used horses to go and get groceries to Athabasca. You know.
Mm-hmm. Did you go on the river, or how did you get to town?
Well, on the river, when the ice was, Father used the river, but not too many times, you know. You know, went straight south there by, road goes by the hot rights, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But then when the river was frozen, Father used the road, Strutsky, where he lived there, you go towards the river.
Okay.
He made a little shortcut there, you know. But then the river's got to be frozen, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know we went a few times.
You remember, Harry, when I was trying to farm with horses a little bit, you gave me, and I have a grain wagon I built, a sleigh, and you gave me a brake for it. I don't know, when you used to use that.
Brake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You told me you used it when you traveled on the river.
Yeah, not on the, it was a poor, hot, steep road.
Here,
you know.
Yeah.
There's still a hill right now, you know. And there was a place quite steep, so you have to put that brake on a runner, you know.
Yeah.
So you come down, you know, you stop. You just unhook it and you still leave it. And you come to the elevator with the grain and then you take it out, you know. That chain flips to the side. Well, I gave that chain to you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was built purposely for that reason, you know.
Yeah.
You walk, put, with a horse and you walk away from it and it'll be still on the runner, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a break, you know, that's all. And on the side they had a little little hook.
I still have it. I could I could bring it to you if you wanted it.
No, I don't want it. You can have it. I don't want it. I had some stuff to, I was it was broken into my place, you know.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Twice, we had in the 60s, you know, somebody broke in.
Wow.
Back the cupboard, big cupboard, and a table, you know, and a big trunk. Mother brought it from the old country. It was like an antique that's gone, you know.
Wow.
Somebody broke in. And then and later on, again, two, three different times broke in there. Well, I don't need it. My guns are stolen, too. I had about two, three different guns, you know. They're gone. I was going to go to the police, but, you know, you got to know what kind of guns they are, you know, what you're going to tell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my guns are registered, you know.
Yeah.
Harry has a poem that he wrote back many years ago, right? Harry, would you like to tell us the poem?
You want me to say it?
Yes, please.
Yes, please, Harry.
Way out far and in the swamp, where the roughnecks toil, dance, and jump, the toolpush proud and with a sigh takes a good look at the steel derrick high. The driller bold and with a good mood leans on a brake with his heavy winter hood. Yells at a derrick man that's way up on height, come down, you weevil, it's time for a bite. The motorman in motion calls for a sky hook, but the greenhorn roughneck, all it can do is look. Harry tells him again, it's only a joke, so laugh, smile, and be happy whenever you're broke. The safety man from the board comes like a hound, inspecting the fast line, which didn't look too sound. And to replace the wire rope, you have to be keen, and the only way you can do it is with a snakeskin. The corpsman excited gets ready for a test, holding a diamond bit, which is one of the best. He shouts at the roughnecks out of the hole, a trip to be made for another core. The orders to the boiler man is to stoke her up the pot so that the grates in the firebox would become red hot. For steam is the main object whenever it's freezing, so the galley could be blown just as sizzling. The life of some oilman is rather queer, for they spend their dollars just for a beer. And if you'd go to this rig and you would try to match, you couldn't compare yourself with these weevils in this old oil patch. That's it. That's all I know.
Wow.
That's great.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It gives me a vivid picture of how the experience was in those days, eh?
Yeah, well, I've been working on rigs, you know, and it's...
What, was that in the 40s or 50s? When was that roughly?
No, it'd be about in the mid-50s.
Mid-50s, eh? Yeah. Yeah. Where did you work, Harry? All over the West, I guess?
Well, I worked up at Fort Nelson, you know, and Peace River area, and high level, you know, towards towards Hay River, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. In that northern part, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In that big swamp. That big swampy country there, you know. Yeah, and that's a long, long ways to go, you know.
Yes.
But I guess there's a lot of gas. Gas and oil, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Were you up there for months at a time?
Yes. 3 weeks in and 1 week out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And some of the lumber mills that you were in, they were all over the place too, weren't they?
Lumber camps, you mean?
Yeah, the lumber camps.
Oh, that was years ago. That was not too far from my place where I live. You know, before you get to Chain Lakes, you go west towards Meyer Lake to saw me. Jim Burgoyne was there for 4 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there were others in there. Bill Churnis had a sawmill there by north of McGrath Lake.
Oh.
You know where McGrath Lake is? Yeah. Yeah, that lake, it's about one section of land, you know, and it's...
Is it?
And there's not much water in it, you know. One time it was hardly no water. It was just lily pads, you know, and a moose went in, was feeding on, and he got stuck, and he died. He didn't come out, you know.
Oh.
I tried to... I thought make a farm or a cattle ranch on that, but to drain it west towards Will Johnson, you know. It sort of cut the hump and you can drain that lake.
Yeah.
But they told me to Edmonton go check, but he won't even talk about it, you know.
Oh.
I told Manchin about draining a lake. That was an insult, you know.
Yeah.
But I would make going to cattle, you know. Well, my brother Bill, he says, you can use any of my equipment.
Oh.
Yeah. He had these 12 cats, the biggest machine that a guy needs is in that construction, you know.
Yeah.
And a ditching machine to cut a ditch. Yeah, 7 feet deep and 4 feet wide for to lay a pipeline, you know.
Okay.
Because he's in pipeline business. Yeah.
Those were tough days, eh? Tell us the story about the welding. When the guy couldn't weld and they asked you to do it.
Well, cash on, you know. A fellow goes into welding business, you catch on by doing it.
Yeah, well, you were self-taught, right?
Yeah, I worked in a lot of jobs. I worked on the Diefenbaker Dam, where there were 6 turbines for electricity, you know. And they're putting 2 more in. I worked on the number 7 on that scroll casing. You got the water dam, you know, and it's high, and there were 6, and they were putting 2 more in for electricity. You turn the turbine, you know, and that rubs from the air, you know. Suzuki says global warming. Well, sure, you take that electricity, you know, that everybody's using electricity, it comes from the air, it rubs it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
7 billion people living, breathing air that without air they can't live, you know, and it's fading down, you know, our air quality.
Yeah.
So the welding was something that you learned just by yourself, just by watching.
Well, I did, but I had to I had to take a course. It made me to do it.
Yes, so you got your...
ticket? You know.
Yeah.
I was welding. I was scared that they would pinch a guy without no training, you know. But I knew how to do it anyway.
But you got a very high certification, like you could do pressure welding, pipeline welding.
I had my first class only.
Yeah, yeah.
But then pipeline welding, you got to have a B pressure.
Okay.
I tried to tone the pipe. I knew I couldn't do it.
Oh.
But they told me I had only my first class, second class.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really. It's a hazardous job, you know.
Yeah.
It's the most hazardous job. You're looking in through that glass, you know. You got to use the right shade.
Yeah.
You use a different rod. You have to change a lens in your helmet, you know.
Are there other things that you remember that stand out in your memory?
Which?
Are there other things that stand out in your memory of those days?
Not really too much, you know. Been farming. Third Chain Lake.
Yeah, you cleared your whole farm up there, didn't you? How many? You have one quarter or two quarters, or?
Well, I had two quarters out there,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I sold one. Yeah, I gave it cheap, you know. To farm there, too much wildlife, you know.
Okay.
When you put the crop in, moose, deer, elk walking on it, you know. And then later on, when you, what's left, you swat it, they walk on it some more. And then the different birds, crayons and all those birds come from the south. And they land on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they tramp it and walk and manure it, you put to the combine, you bring a sample, Stafford, he don't want it. Well, go farming. It's no use farming. You know, too much livestock there. That wildlife, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I made some good money on sweet clover seed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't use no chemicals for spraying, you know. And there's a lot of, you need bumblebees to pollinate the blossoms in that sweet clover.
Right.
You know, oh, I made good money, you know. Super B truck came to pick it up. And I had a check, I think, just about 23,000.
Wow.
Yeah, price was good, you know.
Did you used to have honey?
Well, there was a guy who had
that's right.
On my home place, you know. He had bees on it, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lots of bears?
Yeah, the bears used to come for it. They can smell it, you know.
Yeah.
Have to put the little electric fence around it?
I guess he did, too, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved out, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And you used to can a lot of moose meat, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to can my own meat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a packing plant.
Oh.
You did?
Yeah, way back in for Swift. Swiss packing plant, but they moved out someplace to Lethbridge now. There was about three or four companies, Swift's packing plant, and I forget the names anyway.
You really didn't need to worry about packing plants because you could just do your own thing, right?
Yeah, I worked for them, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you had your own canning operation at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to shovel that meat into a mixer and then put them in a stopper and you put them in little, what they call them, little cans, you know. Fill it up, you know, and they put them in a, cook them out there, you know. I forget the name of it. They got a name for that place.
Is there any other stories you have, Harry?
Oh, can't think of them stories.
Well, you've had a very interesting life.
Pardon?
You've had a very interesting, adventuresome life.
Not too much, you know.
Well, it sounds amazing to me. You could give lessons on self-sufficiency, right?
Yeah.
I remember you, Harry, as a good neighbor. You were always willing to help neighbors. If I remember one time I had a friend who had a trailer. He was traveling from Saskatchewan up to almost Alaska, and his trailer hitch broke. And I brought him over, and you welded that up just so perfectly. And you wouldn't take wouldn't take anything for it, Harry. That was the way you were. Yeah.
I used to weld for him in the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah, and for me. Yeah, you'd weld for me, and
I did weld for you. I don't remember, you know.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, you did, and John did too. Mm-hmm. But you did, and you're a very good welder. The weld looked very professional. When I weld, it looks like seagulls. Drop.
Well, you got to go into it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd work with somebody that has experience too, you know,
yeah.
you catch on.
Yeah. But you could really make it flow.
Yeah,
it
was just, yeah. I worked on that different Baker Dam. There was six turbines going, and they were putting two more in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I worked on number seven, that where the water flows into it. The that pipe was about 8 feet in diameter, you know, and that penstock at the bottom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Scroll casing.
Yeah.
Scroll casing, you know. And on a big pipe, a generator, you know, like a big flywheel.
Yeah.
You know, and it turns. It's about 15, 20 feet in diameter, maybe more. And there's electric, that's where electricity comes, brushes all around. Day and night, they're turning electricity. That's what you call global warming causes that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That air goes, it rubs it out. There's about eight or nine different kinds of gases in the air.
Okay.
You know, that's what, you know. And it rubs it out.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 billion people, you know, breathing air.
Mm-hmm.
And all the animals and everything. Now a jet flies, you know what he leaves behind? You see? Mm-hmm. Just a big vapor behind.
Yeah.
Every motor, don't shut the air cleaner off. See if your motor will run. It won't run without air.
Mm-hmm.
See? So Suzuki trying the global warming. Well, because air was just using air. You know, jets, airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's billion motors running every day, you know.
Yeah.
And it pulls that air, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So global warming, it causes the North ice to melt now, you see.
That's right, yeah. Right.
Well, way back in the 50s, 40s, well, there was just a few vehicles around, you know, it wasn't many.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's billions of vehicles.
So as a person who's had a lot of experience in the world, what do you recommend to people or to governments? What should we be doing to help or protect the air? Have any ideas on that?
Well, there's no way of protecting, because everybody, the only way is not to have these vehicles going and everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my way of thinking, you know.
Yeah. It's a tough problem to solve, but we have to solve it.
But that's life, you see. But
yeah.
I believe that end is coming.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus will come when be the least expected. And that'd be it. I believe in the Bible, what the Bible says. I go to Evangelical Church, Missionary Church.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Well, it's prophesied, you know, that the end will come, you know.
But you've always told me you believe that as humans, as farmers or whatever, we have to protect the birds and the bees, and you could quote the part of the Bible where that was, we were directed to do that, eh? Yeah, yeah. Even though maybe we can't stop it, we
Well, yeah, a lot of it, we can't stop it, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Harry.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate this.
I'm not a good speaker, you know.
Well, I think you're an amazing speaker with a lot of amazing stories. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Harry. You're far too humble. I know that's part of your makeup, but you have experienced so much in life, and you have done so much and helped so many people. And you don't give yourself enough credit.
Yeah. That's, well, I used to do my own mechanicking, welding.
Yeah.
You know, mechanicking, it's, you go for it.
Hmm.
Used to grind welds myself, you know.
Wow.
Welds get pitted up.
Yeah.
And then you got to put them in, you got to set them the right height, you know, in the motor.
Yeah.
I used to overhaul my own motors, you know. And nothing else. To me, it was like a hobby.
Okay.
You know.
was a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you.